guys. This episode of Get Real Podcast is Kat Nail. She is so spunky, so sweet, so cute, so energetic. I adore her. She's married to David Nail. We talk about their love story, how they met at a bar. You know, always good romance happens at a bar. I think it was a bar in Jack in the Box that led to their romance and farting. You're not going to want to miss that story. It's hilarious. But we also get real about their journey to children. They tried for 4 years to have kids and with no luck. And then they had twins via in vitro. And we talk about that journey as well as her just trying again. They just tried again for another baby in vitro and they lost that. And we talk about that journey because pregnancy and getting pregnant is such a sensitive, vulnerable, emotional topic. And before I got involved in this pregnancy journey myself, I thought, oh, it's so easy. You just get pregnant. But that's just not the case. And I have so many friends who have so many different journeys to motherhood. And Kat is one of those who is sharing her story. So here she is, Kat Nail. Hey. Okay, I am here with Kat Nail.
Yes.
What's going on, Kat? Well, you started this off with like just the greatest way ever because you have root beer floats.
Yeah. It is really one of the greatest gifts that God has given us.
There's nothing better than a root beer float.
I mean, like we were saying, it's like, who thought, I'm going to take some ice cream and pour some root beer over it. And like, not a Coke float. You don't do Coke floats.
No.
It's a root beer.
Has to be root beer.
Yeah. And like, what is root beer? I don't even know what it is.
I don't either.
Because David and I got in this conversation.
Oh, this is great.
I was like, I hate licorice. But it kind of has like that licorice taste.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I don't know if it's in like the same family. Like what's the root?
Of the beer.
Yeah.
And beer.
Of the beer.
And beer.
Well, and you know, I didn't know for the longest time that ginger beer.
Right.
Is non-alcoholic until I was pregnant.
And then you realize you can have it. I know.
Yeah. So it was like all the like Moscow Mules like mocktails.
It's very misleading with the beer.
Yeah.
I know. Okay, so you mentioned David. We'll go ahead and just say you're married to David Nail.
Yeah.
One of the greatest singers ever.
Oh, well, thank you. I agree.
How is it being married to a musician?
$1 million question. Yeah, how do you answer that?
I mean, you know, it's just a wild ride.
Well, and you're a musician that's married to a musician.
Former. So I'm retired now.
Yeah. I mean, it's... I never imagined this. Like, I never... he was never the type that I dated. Let's just say like my history of dating was not leading me down the path of like the music industry whatsoever. You know, I went to Ole Miss. I was more into like the preppy, like business guys. And then it just happened. Like
y'all's story is crazy. You kind of have to give us a debriefing on your story.
It's crazy.
Cause you were visiting Nashville for the weekend or something, or had you just moved here?
Yeah. Okay. So way back in the day, I am a retired beauty queen.
Yes, you are, sister.
So I had just competed at Miss Tennessee USA. I think I was like 23.
Okay.
Just a little bit. Okay. Perfect. And yeah, I'm not the one that's used to the mic in the hand.
Girl, you are natural. Yes, you are, beauty queen.
Yeah. World peace. Okay. So I'd met some girls that lived in Nashville. I was currently living in Memphis after I graduated from Ole Miss. And just typical Ole Miss fashion, girls get married the day they graduate.
Is that like a thing?
It is. And you're like, it's actually a lot of pressure. You know, I was in a sorority. I was a Chi Omega.
Yes,
girl. And I just remember like all these, we had candlelight ceremonies whenever you got engaged.
So everyone just wants to get married right away?
Oh, 100%. And you're like an old maid if you're not. Yes.
Really?
Yeah.
How do you deal with that pressure?
It was awful. I was like severely depressed.
What are you, like 23 years old or something?
You're 20. I mean, I was 22.
Who's even like capable of knowing anything at 22?
Exactly.
I mean, I was an idiot.
I mean, thank God.
Thank God I never got married at 22. That would be a disaster zone.
Right. I think about it. Like, thank you, Lord, for sparing me on that one. But I just remember all these candle lights and when's it going to be my turn? When am I going to get the pin drop? You know,
so it's like, more peer pressure than actual wanting to get married.
I think so. I think it is. Yeah. And then once I was out of that environment, I was like, oh, I'm good. I'm okay.
Yeah.
And so I started gaining a lot of like just independency and actually thriving in that and going, God's got a plan for me. I'm okay. I'm going to let these other fools get married.
Yeah.
And I'll learn from them.
Yes.
So I had some really fun roommates in Memphis. They were my dearest friends and they were getting married. And I was like, well, crap.
Now everyone's getting married. They're getting married. My backup plans are now married.
I got to move home. And so home for me was just 30 minutes down the road in Collierville, Tennessee. So I was like, this is very temporary, mom and dad. Don't get used to this. I planned a trip to come to Nashville. And it was supposed to be at the end of March. I was staying with some girls that I had met at Miss Tennessee. And just kind of toy around with the idea of moving up here. And that trip, believe it or not, it snowed in Nashville. It was 08 and it was the end of March, snowed so bad that we couldn't make the trip. So we had to reschedule it for like April 11th.
Okay.
I remember it was April 11th. And when I came up, we all went out one night, just, you know, fun single girls. And
you went to the Tin Roof.
Oh, yes. The TR, of course.
But
Everybody went. And Henry and the Seahawks was playing.
Didn't you meet David at the bar, but he kind of was flirting with your friend?
Yeah. Yeah.
Or they had met first or something?
They had met before and they were kind of in this like friend group circle. And she was a beautiful girl. She was like a model and she competed at Miss Tennessee and stuff too with me as well. And I was actually kind of talking to somebody back at home in Memphis and I had just hung up the phone with him outside the bar and I come back to my seat and there's this new person there. And I was just like, who are you? And he was like, who are you? And it was just like this smart aleck banter, which is like exactly how we still are today. It's just smart aleck and sassy. And I mean, it was just like crazy. He said, I think it was like really early in the morning. I want to say we shut the bar down. But he asked us, he said, hey, if y'all take me home,
I love this story.
I'll get all of y'all Jack in the Box.
I mean, that's a prize.
Heck yeah, man.
I mean, Jack in the Box. Yes. Sign me up.
I know. And believe it or not, I was sober and I was like, okay. I mean, I had just come off of like competing in Miss Tennessee.
You're ready for French fries.
Skinny as crap. I want some damn fries and a burger.
Give me the fries.
And a taco maybe.
Oh, all of it. Get a few things.
We start, and I don't know my way around town. So all I know is we're going to Jack in the Box. Well, he's in the back seat and we get on the interstate. Now I know it was I-65 South. Which heads to Franklin,
the opposite direction
of downtown where he lived. And so he's in the back seat and he goes, why are we passing Harding? You know, like where are y'all taking me? And she,
driving
was like, yeah, you're kidnapped. We're going to the Franklin one. You can just stay the night at our house. Well, anyways, long story short, he ended up staying at the house, total PG. Don't worry.
Yeah, he made a good girl.
He made a cot on the floor. And we should probably add the part that he actually did make out with the girl.
So they got a little kissing in.
Yeah, a little kissy. Yeah. And I was like, I was just like rolling my eyes because all I wanted was sleep at this point. Yeah. So then the next morning.
And are y'all all in the same room?
He was like on the cot and she and I were like in the bed. And then my other friends were downstairs.
Did he just like crawl up in the bed and do a little making out and then go back to
his car? No, I think there was a little booty texting going on.
Oh my gosh.
He's like, you know,
Come down, meet me on the floor.
Yes. And then at that point, I was like, another one of our friends came home and she was, yeah, three sheets to the wind. And I was like, all right.
So y'all were just having it all happen at this house.
Gosh.
Everybody was like living it up.
They were. And I was completely sober.
Oh,
but I just had a hamburger. I was
Feeling good and full.
Yep.
Yes.
And so anyways, the next morning, I can't believe I'm about to tell this story, who cares?
Is David going to freak out?
No. Mm-hmm. It's more of embarrassing. It should be embarrassing for me, but the thing about me is I have no shame.
I love that about you.
And it's just really hard to embarrass me, so I'll just like embarrass myself before you get the chance.
Just go ahead and get it out there.
I'll just go get it out there. Yeah. All right. So the next morning, I like had gone downstairs in the middle of the night when I was like fed up and just ready to sleep. So I went and slept on the couch, and two of my girlfriends who I brought with me from Memphis were down there. So I go downstairs.
Oh, we got a Lawson calling.
Lawson's telling me he's done with lunch.
That's okay. Great. Do you need to talk to him?
Yeah.
all right, buddy, go watch your movie. And Lawson's one of your two twins.
Yes, yes. They're 3.5 years old and
oh my gosh,
just adorable, but so very needy at this age.
Hey, you know,
so
yes.
He may come down here in just a minute because he's a mama's boy. I mean, he is. Yeah, you're about to experience girl world, but yes. I hope that in your future there's a little boy because there's honestly nothing more sweet.
Does the boy, we'll get back to your story because you're right in the pinnacle of the great stuff. Yeah. But does the boy like love his mama and does the girl like love, is it like daddy's girl, mama's boy? Is that a real thing?
It's so true. Even though she really is a mommy's girl.
So you got them both.
I have them both. Yeah. They're just like really, we're together all the time. And so I guess that's just part of it. We're just super close. But like just a minute ago, daddy was about to take her to the doctor and she said, daddy, I love you so much.
Oh my gosh, did he just die?
Well, he's like, all right, what do you want? And she goes, I watch your phone and the doctor. Like, she wants to play with our phones. Uh-huh. So she butters him up before she knows how to work him at 3.
Well, I was looking at both of y'all's Instagrams and he was saying that she's like a mini you.
Oh, yeah.
Like, just like your clone.
Yeah, it's total payback. Yeah, it is what it is. She's just, I'm like, I know you because I invented that.
Yes.
Like what you're doing, what you're trying to manipulate me. Like no.
I came up with.
Yeah.
I'm the OG.
That's it. I'm the OG of that. So it's really funny to like watch it pan out. And my mom actually will catch herself. Her name's Lily Kate, but my mom will call her Catherine.
Because it's just you.
Oh, it's me. I'm with her all the time and she's like, Catherine.
Oh my gosh.
Sorry. Yeah. So.
Okay. There's water running. Is that okay?
He's good. He's good.
Are we sure? Do you want to?
He's probably washing his hands. He climbs up. He's a real good boy. Now watch us jinx it, and there's going to be like a flood of water coming down the stairs. let me check.
Okay. Lawson, are you washing your hands? Or he's either doing the dishes or washing your hands.
See, he would be the angel that would wash his dishes.
He would?
Yeah.
Sweet thing.
She would just throw them to the dog.
Clean these up.
Yeah.
Oh, here he comes.
Or
here
it's
comes
a dog. It's a dog or a human. A dog.
Oh, we got Charlie. Oh. Charlie in the house.
Are you? Is this a distress call, Charlie? Is this like, hey,
we got the gang's all
shit's
here.
Shit's going down upstairs. You need to get up there right now.
Do you need to make a run upstairs or how are you feeling? See, this is called Get Real. So we're just
Yeah, you know
live.
What? Let's just go check. Okay. Let's go check.
Yeah, yeah.
See, this is my problem. I'm way too laid back. Hold on.
It's great. You know, I'm just going to sit here and enjoy my root beer float for a second because I'm super pregnant. Oh, hey, Charlie. Charlie wants to join up with me. Oh, hey, Charlie. Yeah, you guys, this is called Get Real Podcast. So we are just living life as it flows. And that's why it's just, you know, honest women, honest talk, doing the daily. All good. Okay, all good.
Yeah.
No disasters. Okay.
He was just sitting on the sink, washing his hands. He had peanut butter all over him.
What
God
a
bless it.
Good boy.
All right. Okay. So we're at the climatic part of the story.
Yes. Okay.
Yeah. So let me just preface this with my mother did try her darndest with me. She threatened me to go to charm school. I did all these manners classes. They just didn't work.
Well, I just love your personality because you are so real and honest to the core.
I mean, yeah, that's an understatement.
But that's so refreshing and it's so great.
Well, here's the next part.
Okay. So you go to the couch because
you're
fed up.
Some women may be like appalled at this, but I don't care. Okay. So I go downstairs to the couch and my girlfriends were just kind of waking up and we all of a sudden hear David coming down the steps and he just comes in and plops down and starts talking to us, like, what's up? What's y'all's story? And, like, how do y'all know each other? And the girls were like, oh, we competed in pageants together. And he's like, pageants? What? Like, don't you have to have a talent for that? Which you don't. Not in the one I did.
Okay.
But, except I did tap dancing in a couple of them.
Of course you did.
Did not work out. Dancing to Bette Midler in
oh,
tap shoes.
Oh, yes, please.
Yeah, it was a hot little number, but.
Do you still know it?
A little bit. I can like still do the opening part. I wonder if I still have that red velvet costume.
Oh, I mean, you should bust that out for a special occasion.
Should.
Yes, you should.
But my girlfriends were ratting me out and they're like, oh yeah, Catherine has a talent. And I'm like, oh great. What are they going to say? And they were like, she can fart on demand.
Oh my gosh.
And he goes, really? I was like, yeah.
I love so you.
He goes, do it. And I'm on the couch like you were, and I just lean up, and I'm talking.
So you have no shame in your game.
No.
Did you grow up with brothers?
None. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, that was it. That's where it is. So I have three older brothers.
Oh, so you are like pro at all the boy tricks.
Yeah. So,
did he
just
die?
Let it rip. Literally, just let it rip.
Did he die or just die
his
laughing?
His jaw was like on the floor. Like,
like, here's this beauty queen.
Who are you? Yes.
Ripping ass.
Yeah.
So is that kind of
about it?
Was that kind of where the true love started?
I think so. God, girls, just fart on him. That's all it takes.
That's how you really meet your man. Let him know who you are. Let out a big rip. Yes, and it's true
love.
Let's
just get this out of the way. You know, a lot of girls will like go hide in the bathroom. Even like I know girls who are married and like won't fart in front of their significant other. I'm like, man, we got that out early.
You're like, that was day one.
Yeah. So, hey, Charlie. So then, yeah, after that, needless to say, it was like, well.
So he kind of ended it with the other girl.
Yeah, they were never like, they just like made out that one time.
Yeah.
And that was it.
Yeah. Just trying it out.
Yeah, whatever. Well, then I wasn't like attracted to him at this point. But then after that, we just started rolling and laughing. And it was like, oh, this dude's funny. Like he's dry. He's sarcastic. But he's so funny. Like, I get that kind of humor.
Is that kind of your humor?
No, it's not my humor. I'm like goofy and silly, but I get it.
You appreciate it.
Yeah, I can appreciate your style of humor.
Yeah.
And a lot of people don't actually get that first impression from David at first. I mean, I kind of did, but I just like to see the lightness in people. I like to see the humor in people first.
Yes.
And that's just kind of how our relationship started. And then honestly, it wasn't until he got out of the car because we dropped him off at his. Do you remember Laurel House? It was like this housing for starving musicians.
Yes, okay. In the Gulch. Yes.
And it was like the only thing down there. It was actually like the highest building at that point. Which
before
was
the
like
Gulch became
stories.
The Gulch.
Yes.
Yes.
That's where he lived. And I always thought, how cool. Like, he must be doing so well. Like, to live in this like really cool condo downtown, you know. Little did I know. Because he had told me that he worked at Home Depot. I had no idea.
That he was a singer?
No. And
that's probably right when he was like in his hate, like coming out.
I'm
like,
About to Come Alive was on the radio. And I had no idea. But he said the reason he would always do that is because he was like, I just didn't want people to associate that with like a part of me, like who I am.
He wanted to meet you first and like get to know you as a human.
Yeah.
Before
exactly.
You just only think, oh, you're an artist.
Okay. You need to lay down right here.
Charlie,
lay down. Yeah. She's another baby in the house.
Good.
Okay,
Charlie.
So I got home, and this was in the day of MySpace.
Yeah.
So I get home, and there's a MySpace message from David Nail.
Waiting for you?
Yeah, waiting for me. Like, yeah, because this was probably before the day where you could get, like, internet or social media on your phones.
Yeah.
Still, I mean, in 08.
Yeah.
So I had to wait till I was home to, like, do all of my research on him.
Like, who is this
and
guy?
We went to the same person. You know Mark Block, the modeling
agent?
Yes. He was a dear friend of mine and of David's.
Okay.
And so I instantly text him, and so did David.
No
he
way.
Was like, so David's over there saying, like, tell me about this Catherine Wern was my maiden name.
Wern, okay.
Tell me about Catherine Wern, and I'm over there. Tell me about David Nail. And he's like, okay, this is crazy.
Oh, my gosh.
So he was kind of a big part in, like, giving us the green light.
Like, saying, like, okay, this guy's good. This girl's good.
Yeah.
And your friend didn't care. Your friend was like, oh, yeah.
No, because she was like, Kat, I mean, it was just like a fun night. Like, whatever. It is what it is.
Yes.
No. And it wasn't awkward or anything like that. But
so then after that, were y'all just kind of like on?
Not really. I had to break off the relationship.
Oh, yeah, because you were in another relationship.
Yeah. So I actually, that was hard.
Yeah.
He thought it was more serious than I did, and so like I had to do that whole. And honestly, I had never really had to do a hard breakup like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think it's typical for girls to be the one getting broken up with,
right?
Instead of doing the break. I mean, I had broken up with probably three other guys, but as really an adult, like out of college, it was like, oh, this is like really hard. Like, I'm hurting someone.
Yes.
And I hated that feeling. I hated it so, so much. But, I mean, there was just something about David that I knew. Like,
that this is the one I want to pursue.
Yeah.
This
oh, mm-hmm. yeah. And I mean, he came down like 2 weeks later to Memphis, met my parents, stayed with my parents.
Dang.
Remember, at this point, so I'm still
moving
fast.
Home.
Oh, we were on the fast track for sure. And then it was like maybe a month and a half later, I was up here.
And then y'all were together.
Yep. Together, engaged 6 months later.
Are you kidding me?
And married 7 months after that. So we had, when we were married in June 6th of 09, we had only known each other since April 11th of 08. So like right over a year.
So what, how did y'all know so fast? What was it?
The only way I can describe it was, and I'm not really one for like sentiment, like sappy, whatever, but it felt, I remember it felt like something hit me. I was just like kind of in this like shocked, stunned, like something feels so different about this,
mm-hmm.
you know? I had never, ever, ever been pursued so hard.
Yes.
He pursued and pursued. And like to the point where I was like, you're getting on my nerves. But I kind of needed that. And like he wrote my parents a letter.
Stop.
That after he stayed, after two weeks that we had met, he came down, wrote my parents a letter and left it in their bedroom. And it was just like, oh, I mean, he's a songwriter. He has a way with words.
Oh.
And I mean, just like, you're just telling my parents how wonderful I am and thank you for raising such a great girl.
Stop.
And like, oh yeah. Like that he has the best of intentions.
Stop.
I know.
So your parents are like, on board.
Yep. They're like, he's
done.
Got our vote. Yeah. And I had just gotten out of a more serious relationship probably 6 months later. And so, and this was a point where my dad was
earlier.
Like, yeah, 6 months earlier, I had gotten out of a nasty relationship. And my dad, it was like to the point where he sat me down and was like, I hate seeing you hurt. Like, you've
got
to get out of this.
Like,
and when your dad tells you that, and, you know, my dad's not one for like expressing emotions or anything like that. So, for him to sit down and tell me, like, I hurt for you. Like, I don't see this as the best for you.
Wow.
Yep.
Yeah.
And then, man, that made it easy.
That is helpful, actually, to have that kind of intensity coming from your dad.
Yes, it is. Yeah. So
then
he was like a breath of fresh air of, like, this is how a woman is supposed to be treated. Like, literally, I remember we were in my parents' kitchen, and he, like, picked me up and sat me on the counter. And it, like, made me so uncomfortable because I'm not one who loves flattery. And so he sat me on the counter, and he was just staring at me. And I was like, what? This is so awkward. Like, what? And he's, like, you know, just, like, laying it on thick about how beautiful I am. I'm like, he's literally lifting me up and putting me on a pedestal.
Oh, literally.
Yeah.
Like, physically.
Yes, physically, like, lifting me up and just admiring me.
Oh, my gosh.
So that was so foreign and so new to me that, yeah. So that's what was different.
How did you embrace this Nashville life? Being in the music scene, him traveling,
yeah.
Girls probably
yeah.
throwing themselves at him. How did you embrace all of that?
So I think my approach is still the same approach today, is like almost like ignorance is bliss, not with like the girl stuff. I'm just saying as far as not getting heavily involved in his business,
mm-hmm.
Not acting like I know a lot about the business or how he should do things, because it literally is so foreign to me.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I just try not to get like super involved with that aspect of his life. You know, I would tell him, to me, you're my husband. You're David Nail, the husband.
Mm-hmm.
When you come home, you're not David Nail, the artist.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm gonna keep you humble.
Okay,
that's what I'm.
How
here
do you
for.
Keep him humble?
Oh, I make him, you know, just. Listen, those artists have minions that do stuff for him. I'm like, I'm not your damn minion. You know, like, you're going to take responsibility. And I mean, honestly, it was like training.
Mm-hmm.
So just, yeah, making him pull his weight at home. And he's very good at that. But it did take a little bit of training. Like, okay, you got to do some stuff. Like, I know
yes.
that people do, you know, your calendar for you. But like, I also need in on that. Or like, I mean, transparency is really big with mm-hmm. as much as he travels. I think that was really tough for me. Like, if I wanted to go to a wedding, for instance, I would RSVP for the both of us. And he'd be like, well, I can't go. I'm on the road. And I was like, ugh. Like, we never went to a wedding together. I mean, I think it took 6 years for us to actually go to a wedding together.
Because he's just gone
all the
time.
He was just gone every single weekend.
And people are like, do you have a husband?
You're
like, yes, he's real. He's not a mythological creature.
So it's lonely at times, you know, when you're having to go to all those functions solo.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, it can be really challenging. It can be really lonely. And I think as far as like people who are on the outside looking in, you know, and you probably experienced this too, like it is not glamorous. It is not this life that people fantasize about in their imagination. Like this, it's hard.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're raising families. The women are holding down the homes while the husbands are away, you know, and
yeah.
for them too, for the husbands, it's not all glamorous.
Like right.
that's hard work.
Yes.
I mean, I can't imagine doing a hobby as a full-time job. Like mm-hmm. there is this love-hate relationship that, you know, they probably have. And we get to see that ugly part of the business. They get to see the fun part.
Right. Well, it's because they're putting their whole souls on the line and everyone's just judging it. But yep. then also it's like, if it's going great, it's great. But with anything, you have highs and lows. And so the highs are the person, the lows are the person.
Yes.
And they're gone, you know, just chasing this dream, which is them.
Yep.
It's a lot.
It is. And, you know, just you're not only dealing with you still have to deal with life.
Yeah.
So
how do you throw kids into the mix? And you guys have quite the journey to children.
That's right. Yeah, we did. And thank God we did, because, you know, we did everything so fast. We got engaged fast. We got married fast. We didn't have kids fast, which was my plan.
To have
them
fast.
Oh, yeah. Like I was ready, you know, 20, 25, 26. I was like, let's do this. Who knows?
What's he
using
saying?
His imagination? I don't know.
Go Lawson. Is he calling for you or is he just...
I don't think that's a call for me.
Oh, he's just having fun.
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, we'll go Lawson.
We'll hope. Okay. Well, anyways, what were we saying about...
Not having kids.
Oh, kids. Oh, yeah. I'm glad we didn't, because... And David's very open about this, so he wouldn't mind me talking about it, but he had undiagnosed... depression.
Mm.
And so
how did he finally get it diagnosed?
About a year into our marriage, I just said, you know, I was just noticing like he was just like withdrawing and just kind of a darkness. And he called me one day and he was on the streets of Las Vegas, which
great
is that
place
where revelations
be?
Like come to life.
I guess so.
And so he's like, something's not right. I just don't feel myself. I need help.
Good for him for saying that.
Amen. Because there are, you know, I have dear friends whose husbands, I'm afraid, you know, are suffering from that. And, you know, maybe don't have the courage, because it does take courage to say something's wrong. I need help. And I admire him for that.
Tons of courage.
Man.
Especially when you're in the public eye.
Right. Lawson, what do you need, bud?
Charlie making a mess.
Charlie's making a mess. Oh, no.
Well, you tell me about it, okay?
Hi, Lawson.
Hey.
Is Charlie making a mess?
You have a mess all over your face.
Hi.
Welcome to the party.
Hey, it's a party in here.
Yeah.
What's up, Lawson? Got some peanut butter?
You say hi.
Hi.
What's Charlie doing? Is he making a mess?
Yeah.
He is? What are we going to do about that?
Charlie's a girl, but we confuse it, don't we? We gave her a girl name. I mean, a boy name. Girl dog, a boy name.
What are we going to do about this mess?
Will you go clean it up for mommy?
Yeah.
Because you're an angel, aren't you? Mm-hmm. Look at all this peanut butter. All right. Go back upstairs, okay?
Good. You're such a good boy,
good boy.
Cleaning up Charlie's mess.
Yeah.
Okay, so yeah, the whole kid thing.
Yeah, I love it. Okay, Lawson's the cutest
perfection.
Little face that
I
ever
mean,
was.
Perfection.
Oh.
So, you know what? He was worth the wait.
Yes, he
but
was.
Yeah, so David went, it took a little while to heal from depression.
How did he do, how did he heal?
So, you know, just talk therapy and drugs. Drugs are good.
Yeah.
So, and that's an ever-changing kind of scenario. Meds always need adjustments and stuff. So
you have to stay on top of it?
Yeah. Yeah. And there's still times where we're like, oh, this could be like maybe a time where we need a little adjustment on the meds. What? You want to sing us a song?
Yeah.
All right. What are you going to sing?
What is it?
Can you sing Go Tell It on the Mountain?
Yeah.
Okay. Let's hear it.
Go tell it.
Oh my goodness, Lawson! That's so pretty.
Oh my gosh.
Oh. Do it again. Yeah, okay. Let's hear it one more time.
Go to the mountains over there about we will go to the mountains that Jesus Christ was born.
Stop it. Lawson.
You're a doll.
That was so good.
That was beautiful.
That was so beautiful,
even
Lawson.
Even with peanut butter on your face.
I mean, the cutest little thing I've ever seen.
Yep. I mean, melts me. Just not, he can get away with stuff that Lily can't. Lily can't
because
can't.
He's so stinking precious.
I mean, ugh. Yeah, he's never moving out. No, I've already said
never
that.
Never getting a wife, never getting a girlfriend.
Nope. But, you know, we, you know, talking about all the fertility journey, like, I'm just glad that, you know, it's worth the wait. Look at this. Look at this. Look at this. Okay, hold on. You're going to have to go upstairs in just a minute, okay? You got your movie on upstairs.
This.
I know you want a mic. My kids crave microphones.
So they're going to be stars.
I mean, I think he'll probably be like the backup singer, you know, like, are you going to be a drummer? Because she steals the spotlight.
She does.
Just always has to be center of attention. Okay, no, maybe after. You want to play that for Miss Caroline after?
Yeah, will you go practice it and get it ready for us?
Yeah, here, go upstairs.
And then we'll come listen to you play it.
Go play your guitar upstairs, and then we'll come up here,
and then
okay?
Get the show ready for us, please? And we'll come watch it.
Yep.
Yes!
Set it all up, your keyboard. Later, not right now, okay? Sorry, we didn't plan on having kids
it's called
at home.
Get Real.
That's right, this is real life.
I want to play it.
After I'm finished with this, okay? Will you go get your guitar?
No.
And you know what's interesting? He's left-handed.
Really?
Uh-huh. So I have mirror twins. Lily Kate's right-handed. He's left-handed. So the way that he'll hold like a guitar is so funny.
He's a left-handed guitarist?
Yeah.
No way.
Mm-hmm. Where's your left hand?
Oh.
Is that right or left?
Right.
That is your right hand, yeah.
Is that?
What's that one?
Uh-huh.
Look at you.
Good job. Can you sit here and be quiet while mommy talks, please?
No.
It's like, man, you go to the bathroom and you hear, Mama!
Well, hey, you know, that's like, real life
what?
With kids.
What?
Everyone always says you can't even go to the bathroom alone.
I don't know. Man, I was trying to have a peaceful one this morning. And nope. He told me, he said, Mama, I'm leaving. I said, where are you going? He said, High school. Uh-huh.
You go, boy.
Yeah. He said,
get ready.
High school. I said, okay, you go, buddy.
You get on. You get on with it.
But yeah, our whole journey to kids was.
Oh my gosh. Now he's kissing you. How can you even like.
Oh, gosh.
How can you, I see why you can't resist.
Oh, like I'm dying.
Kissing your face.
Inside. And you know what?
Oh my gosh.
He'll grab my face and he'll go, Mama, I love your face.
Oh, my goodness.
You need it on thick. Nope. We're not pulling that up. Nope.
I want to see you, baby.
Okay, so, yeah. Well, we don't have a baby. So, we just went through, you know, IVF, and it didn't work.
Oh, I know, Kat. So, and how do you, because you did IVF for the twins.
I did, yep. That's how I got them. And it worked.
And it stuck.
Yeah, and so we
So 4 years y'all did IV, y'all just tried, and then you did your first round of IVF and you.
We tried. We did 4 rounds of IUI.
Okay.
So the intrauterine insemination. And, you know, 4 times we heard no, and we were like, okay. Thanks to Karen Fairchild. I mean, honestly.
From Little Big Town.
Yes,
she's amazing.
Thanks to her. We were at a party one night and she said, Kat, if you don't call my doctor, I'm calling her for you.
Wow.
Because she will get you pregnant.
Wow.
And I believed her. And literally on the phone on Monday morning, like, all right, I'm calling Dr. Eblen. And Dr. Evelyn's gotten a lot of my friends pregnant, which is really fun. like Cassie. Well, actually, Cassie actually got pregnant naturally.
I know, but she was in the process of doing all the things, and then they got pregnant.
She had talked to Dr. Evelyn, and Evelyn was the one that was like, oof, I don't know. You've got like a 1% chance.
Yeah.
And then I've just a lot of other friends. Actually, Ellen Boyer, Caroline Bryan's sister-in-law.
Yeah.
She now works for Abby Evelyn.
That's amazing.
And like, it is. It really is. But, we called Evelyn and got the process started, and that was in 2014. But I hyperstimulated from all the drugs, mm-hmm. and that was in January. I was hospitalized. They had to drain like 3 liters of fluid off my lung.
Okay.
And so they said, yeah, you got to wait 4 more months. So I'm like, I've waited 4 years, but what's 4 more months? Oh, well. And hang on. So in April 15th, we put 2 embryos in. Oh, we'll do it in a minute. We put 2 embryos in, and they stuck like glue.
And that's Lily and Lawson.
And we had 3 left. And I thought just recently, this is a good time to maybe try for a third because, you know, going into IVF, you have this mentality of, I just want a baby. I just want a baby. I want a baby. I'll do whatever it takes. I just want a baby. So they retrieved 22 eggs for me.
22
a whole football team. Yes, I really am. So it was actually a quick fix, which I'm really thankful for. But yeah, we had 22 retrieved and 5 were viable embryos. So they put them in the freezer. And you know, before I went through this, I didn't know what it would be like on the other side. Like once you have kids, mm-hmm. what is it like to have 3 frozen embryos?
What is that like?
It is torment, I got to tell you. And I never expected it. So if anybody's going through IVF, just be prepared for after. What are you going to do? Because it's a moral dilemma. I mean, it's just...
So you didn't... That's something you really probably don't think about ahead of time.
All you want is a baby. And you're just one track mind.
So y'all had 5 embryos.
5 embryos. Yep.
Two of them stuck.
2 of them stuck. So we had 3 left after the twins. And I just thought, you know, God, you have given me the responsibility of 5 embryos. And I will use them. If this means I have 5 kids, God help me. But I'll have 5 kids.
Okay. So that's what you decided.
It is. And it's just my conviction. That's not everybody's conviction.
Because you're like, there's 3 kids out there.
Yes. And once you see, you know, they hand you on transfer day the picture of the embryo. And so in our case, we had these 2 embryos. Doesn't look like much, but they're like, that's where the baby is going to form. And this is what's the placenta. And I mean, it's just crazy that you see it on a cellular level. Mm-hmm. And then they develop into this. And it's like,
so well, you're like, I can't just let these sit in a freezer.
How can you? And I think I'd have a problem with if I adopted them out, knowing that my children were out there roaming.
Oh, because people can adopt embryos out.
Yep, yep. So, you know, you do like a checklist of, you can have them donated to science. You can have them donated for adoption or just discarded.
Oh, wow. Okay, so that is a moral dilemma.
Very much. You're very much playing God in this. So it's an unnatural feeling, and it just took a lot of prayer. And I just feel like it is my moral duty to give them a shot. And so, you know, I was with you actually the day after the transfer, and I was like, oh, I'm feeling cramps. Like, I think I'm pregnant.
Yes.
I was kidding around. Like, it's going to be a girl. Cause they said that this was an overachieving embryo.
Cause you can't tell what it is.
You can't. I did not do genetic testing.
Okay.
Personally, just another conviction. I felt like,
How'd you decide not to do that?
So for me, it really boiled down to, David and I did genetic testing on ourselves, and there was nothing that was like a marker for anything serious.
Right.
So they were like, you probably don't have anything that you're going to pass down.
And you don't want to get rid of the embryos anyway. So you're like, whatever embryo we're supposed to have, we'll have.
Yeah, because a normal person doesn't get the privilege
to pick out
Yeah. You know, and so that's just how we felt convicted. And like this whole IVF process, nothing is a surprise.
Right.
And we just wanted the gender to be a surprise.
Okay, I love it.
Yeah, so we were like, if something's going to feel natural, we want it to be that we don't know the genders. And I will say, after losing the embryo...
How did that process go?
Now we have balloons.
Yes.
He knows. Hey, he knows it's not a party without balloons.
That's right.
He's like his mama. So what did you ask?
So how did that process go? Okay. All finding out, and how did you emotionally deal with that? Because you hadn't emotionally lost an embryo.
No, I haven't. In fact, to my knowledge, I've never had a miscarriage.
Really?
No. I just have had a ton of negative tests.
Yeah.
So, we transferred one this time, and we did that on a Friday. And they said, you know, within 24 hours, it should start to implant.
Okay.
So of course I'm hyper aware of my body.
It's so crazy that I was with you on the day you did, like, so within the 24 hour window, because we were doing this trip to St. Jude's with all these wives of country music artists. It was so amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so I was actually like on the bus, and I remember looking at the clock going, it's 1:49. That was like exactly 24 hours. And I'm getting these like specific cramps, which the embryo could have started to implant, but then just stopped.
Yeah.
But you know, it's like, let's see, that was on a Friday. And okay. We're just going to play, aren't we? Okay. And, that I was supposed to test like a week and a half later.
Mm-hmm.
And they tell you like, don't test at home. Don't take pregnancy tests.
Oh, right. Because it's hard for it to show up.
Oh, I'm impatient as hell. So I was like, I'm going to test. I tested with them 4 days before my blood draw.
And you got
it was
positive.
Okay. At night. But granted, that was twins.
Right.
So the levels were way strong. So this time I thought, well, I'll just maybe do the same. So I tested on like a Friday, and it was negative.
Okay. But you're like, okay, that's okay.
Probably too early.
Yeah. You know? Probably jumped the gun.
Yep. Then I tested on a Saturday. Still negative, and I'm still like, it's probably still too early, you know? Well, then when I get to Sunday, and it's still negative the day before the blood draw, I was like, yeah, this is not looking good.
So how are you feeling?
I still have a little bit of hope, man. I am like, if you know the Enneagram, I am an 8 as an 8 as an 8, like, and 7 wings. So I'm like optimistic, future thinking. I'm like, still got hope.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, it's not looking good, but there's still a chance, you know?
Yes.
It's like Dumb and Dumber. So you're saying there's a chance.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, that's me.
Yeah.
If there's one in a million, hey,
you're going to take it.
I'll take it.
I love that, Kat.
So we got to Monday, and my blood draw was like, I want the first appointment.
Yeah.
So 8:15, I'm there getting my blood drawn. They were like, you can pay an extra to have the results today. I was like,
yes,
here's my money.
Yep. Take it. Yep. Please give me the results.
But I mean, it was agony for like, from 8:15 to 3:30 in the afternoon, they called me.
Okay.
And I had all morning really to myself. The kids had napped. Well, then, as soon as I get them in the car to take them somewhere, the phone rings and they're screaming.
Okay.
And it's natural fertility. And they're like, is this a good time? I'm like, it's never a good time. You could have called like 2 hours ago and it would have been a good time. But yeah, so they did confirm that it was negative.
And how do you process that?
You know, I think I was glad I took the test at home so that somebody else wasn't telling me, that I kind of knew it for myself.
You kind of were already thinking it was going that way.
Yeah, I was kind of already thinking that. And I just said, look, you know, I'm the type that wants to make sure that I dotted all my I's and crossed all my T's. Is there anything we could have done differently? And she said, no. Everything checked out perfectly with you. And she said, when it gets to this point where you have a good embryo, something internally, chromosomally, was probably wrong with it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the part where you have to go, okay, that's beyond my control. That's
right.
That's God, you know. It still hurts.
Do you grieve it?
I did grieve it. And hey, Lawson. Hey. I was still, honest with the kids. So I was very honest.
Because he was just up here saying, I'm going to see your baby in your belly.
Right. Which that still gets me because, hey, Lawson, can you sit down and do that, please? Listen to mommy. Yes, ma'am. Please sit down and do it. Okay. I'll give you my phone. You want to play with this?
Oh yeah.
Whoa.
Oh, you know it's a good day when you get the phone.
What do our
parents do? Before a phone?
Like you go in a restaurant and.
Yeah, I know. What do you do?
I guess we played with like the sweet and low packets.
Yeah. Or ate butter. Yeah.
And half and half cream and all that stuff.
Yeah.
Like, crackers. Okay. Lawson, here. But, you know, I think it was not that it's easy, because it's definitely not easy. I have two beautiful children.
Yeah.
And that, I'm not going to, I don't want to take away anything from them, because I want to just intentionally be 100% there for them, involved with them. And if I take time out for me to just, woe is me, why didn't this work? I'm not one to wallow at all.
So what do you, how long is, how do you, is it fast?
It's grieving? A fast grieving. It's,
so what does it look like for you?
It's an hour of crying.
You just get, you purge it all?
I just purge it all.
Like,
yeah.
You just go all the way to the bottom of your feeling fast?
Fast.
So you move fast.
I do.
So you're like, okay, I'm going to feel this to the bottom, but yep. I'm not going to stay here. So let me just get in it.
That's a good way to put it. Yeah. Yeah.
So you just get in as fast
as you
can.
Let me wrestle with it for a minute. Yes, I'm sad, but look, God has never let me down, ever. That's, I mean, it might feel like it, but he's never, ever let me just fall. Or,
and you trust that?
I do. And not like, and he will say, you know, I saw a good quote the other day. I actually posted it to my story of, you know, God's delays are not God's denials. He's not saying no. He's saying not right now.
Yeah.
And I hear that.
How did you learn that? How did you receive that and know that?
Gosh, I mean, just reading scripture, being in the word, knowing, like, in prayer, hearing him, feeling him. Like,
have you seen it happen in your life? Like, him display that?
Oh, well, kind of like what we talked about earlier of, like, saving me from a relationship. Like, I thought that was the road I was going to go down. I thought that was, you know, the person. But he was like, no.
Yeah.
No. And sometimes I'm stubborn, and sometimes it's going to take somebody else to say, like my dad,
yeah,
you know, like, no, you got to get out of this.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I've seen that come to fruition time and time again. I mean, here's an example right here. You know, yeah. Lawson and Lily Kate, his delay was 4 years, you know, yeah, after I was seeking and asking and praying.
And
for
what
children.
Did you learn in those 4 years? Because you said everything else was fast, but the children were slow.
Yeah. Oh, man, patience. And just,
were you ever upset?
Oh, gosh, yeah. I remember going to, this is kind of a funny one. I went to Hillary Scott, you know, Lady A. I went to mm-hmm. her baby shower with Isley, so her first pregnancy. I was at her baby shower, and it seemed like everybody there was pregnant. Like, I think Carrie Underwood may have been pregnant, too, at the same time. Like, she was there. And I was like, everybody's around me
How
pregnant.
How do you deal with that? Because you're like, is it ever going to happen for me?
It's a... You're sincerely happy for those people that you love that mm-hmm. get pregnant, but it still is a wound, and it's a pain, and it's just like, oh, it just hurts. It's like an awful reminder. It's just like salt on a wound.
Like, it is so true, because I felt that way too for, like, when we were trying. It yeah. just wasn't happening, and you're just like, is this ever going to happen for me? And you're so happy
yes,
for
yes.
these other women who are getting pregnant, but at the same time, it is such a painful feeling, and it's so bizarre because I never understood that. Like, no. I never understood how that could be a thing. And, like, you know, like, you hear about women struggling with it, and yeah. women struggling with miscarriage, struggling with fertility, but before you're in it yourself, I never understood that.
No, because you don't think it's going to happen to you. Like, no. Right? We imagine, you know, as a kid, I was all, like, my biggest desire was to become a mom. Always.
Aww.
Like, I was never really career ambitious, like, that just wasn't me. Like, I wanted to be a mom.
Mm-hmm.
Wanted to be a wife. Wanted to be a mom. Because I had an incredible mom. So, you know, that's just, I wanted to be her.
Mm-hmm.
And you just don't think that it's going to happen to you. And then you're like, well, crap. So after that shower, I remember coming home. This was probably the lowest point during the fertility journey. But I came home and I opened up a bottle of vodka and yeah. lit up a cigarette. Screw it. Like, yes. You know, I'm in the pits right now. Like,
and let me just go all the way.
I did. I sat on my front porch and I just.
Did you just like chug it straight yeah, out of the bottle?
I did. I smoked and drank because I was, the way I put it was, I'm mad at my body.
Yeah.
I'm mad that my body won't do what it's supposed to do. And little did I know it wasn't my body.
Yeah.
And that's okay. But so I just learned, like, okay, you can be mad. You can throw a fit. It's almost like a temper tantrum with like a 2-year-old. You know, that's, I would have those moments. But that's God's form of discipline.
Mm-hmm.
And when when he disciplines us, it's not a bad thing. It's we grow and we mature. And that was my opportunity in those 4 years to just sit with him. It was a lot like when I was single, just like wanting something so bad. And he kept having to remind me, Kat, I never let you down. Do you remember when you were waiting? Remember this period of waiting? This is just another period of waiting. It just looks a little different.
And you, why do you think it's necessary that we wait? You said patience.
Oh, because he is all knowing. Because
what else did it teach you about yourself?
You know, just I can be pretty tough. David actually wrote a song called Fighter. And, you know,
isn't that the name of his album?
Yeah, yeah. I can be pretty scrappy. So when life is scrappy with me, I'm going to get scrappy back. I'm not going to let it beat me up. And I'm not going to stay down. I just try to find the silver lining in everything. And so what I ended up doing, what a part of the waiting opened up my eyes to was, okay, maybe I do have a little bit of career ambition, but if I'm going to do something as a career, I had majored in broadcast journalism and didn't do squat with that. So I was like, what else is something I'm passionate about? Just truly passionate. Where can I make a difference? And I was like, oh, it's children. Like, yeah. Obviously I'm craving for a child. What can I do in the meantime, in this waiting period, to serve children? So a couple things I started doing was teaching Sunday school at my church. And it was the sweetest. So I did like kindergarten and actually moved up with them when they went to first grade because I got so connected to them. And then I started thinking, oh man, I really like this teaching thing. What if I start substitute teaching like in Williamson County?
Amazing.
So I started substitute teaching and really loved it. And I thought, okay, David's going to think I'm crazy. We don't have any money, but I want to go back to school.
Okay.
So I went back to school when I was like 28 and got my master's in education.
No, you did not.
Yes, I did. And it's something I'm just so proud of because like I said, I'm not like real career ambitious, but when I'm passionate about something, man, I'm all in.
Yeah.
And so I taught second grade and it
was. You taught, you weren't just substituting.
I know. Then I
actually became a teacher.
I graduated, got my master's and started teaching just like 2 miles down the street at Granbury Elementary. And it was a wonderful school, but it was there that I got pregnant with my twins.
Do you think because you just like finally released control and you're focusing on something else?
Maybe. I mean, but I just. It's in that waiting that you have to go, okay, what are you trying to teach me? I'm not going to sit here and wallow in this. Like, how can I make this negative into a positive?
And sometimes I feel like with the waiting, like, because I think being in this entertainment industry myself and then being married to Michael, it's like I've felt that waiting for so many periods of my life.
Right.
And it's like now I have like a process. I'm like, okay, if I am in a waiting period and I've done everything I can do that I can think of that feels right, that doesn't feel forced, and I'm still waiting, then I'm supposed to be waiting.
Yeah.
You know, and like it's just like, okay, God, like why am I waiting? But it's just like if I can't make a move happen and I've tried everything, because I'm like you too, I'm super proactive, then I'm like, then I'm just supposed to be here.
Right.
And might as well just try to figure out the lesson or just let it come.
You know, it's kind of like being stuck in traffic.
Yes,
when you're waiting, you're like, oh, this sucks, man. Go.
You can't get out.
But sometimes there's just nothing you can do about it.
Yeah.
Put on a good song.
Yes.
You know, like make the best of it. Like find another. You're griping. Yes. You're whining. You're honking. Ain't doing squat for it.
Because you have one focus to get out of traffic. But really, what if you have this time to enjoy something else? Like music. Call a friend.
Yep.
You know, like.
Exactly.
Like there's
and that's another thing. When do you ever just call a friend? When do you ever just pick up the phone? Well, now you can't pick up the phone in Tennessee. Use your hands free. As of today, you will get a big fine.
Okay.
But yeah, call a friend.
Like make the most of it.
But who knows what you are, escaping in that wait? If we got our way all the time, we'd be in a hot mess.
Yes, we would.
And, you know, just, I think about that a lot in traffic. Just, okay, it's cool.
I love that. If we got our way all the time, we'd be in a hot mess. Because that is so true. Because we get our sights so set on things.
Yeah.
And it's like, I have to have this now. And especially, like, even, like, the kid thing. Like, I just came out of that. Like, wanting to get pregnant, miscarrying, not being able to. Losing this embryo. You know, it's like, it's, when waiting for your twins, it's like you get so hung up on what you want in the way that you want it. And it's so heartbreaking when it doesn't work out. But I, sometimes I think to myself, who do I think I am?
Yeah.
To just think that I can have everything I want when I want it.
Yes. I know. You start to sound like a spoiled brat.
You know? I'm just like stomping my feet because I didn't get what I wanted.
Yeah. And David, you know, when his response was, you know, I mean, Kat, like, we can't be unrealistic and think that all five of those embryos were going to take.
But you're like, yes, that's what I thought.
But I was like, well, I kind of did. You know, like the first two just kind of took.
Yeah.
But it is so true. God sees the bigger picture. You know, we're only on this side of eternity. We don't know that side yet. So that's the beauty of it. And like, I listened to my devotional this morning, which was so good. Like, it was, I have to listen to a podcast cause I'm like too, I can't sit down and read. Nope. I gotta like,
oh yeah.
As I'm picking up the house or doing whatever, I have it playing.
That's the best.
And, it was like, you know what? God's already conquered the world.
Yeah.
What more? Like, you can't, I can't. So why all this worry? Why all this fuss? Like, I love analogies. Mm-hmm. And so they gave the analogy of like, do you know what fertilizes flowers? Do you know what makes flowers grow? Crap. Literally crap.
Yeah.
Mulch is crap.
Yeah.
And so that's kind of how we can, hey.
Hey, gang.
Well, David and Lily Kate just walked in the door.
Love
hey,
it.
Hey, what'd they say?
My hand put my arm, baby.
Oh, no.
Oh, well, don't touch anything. Oh, shoot.
Poor Lily Kate has hand, foot, and mouth, maybe.
Mine always just get the throat part, not the hand and feet.
Mm.
But it's the throat. Poor little girl, man. She's a trooper, too. Like, she's kind of like me. Like, she's going to play tough, you know, but then I'll feel her, and she's, like, hot. I'm like, what hurts on you? She's like, meh. I don't know.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah. And I thought it was maybe going to be an ear infection. But back to the crap story.
Yeah.
You know, that's kind of like when we feel like we are, like, life's dealt us crap.
Mm-hmm.
That's fertilizer.
Yeah.
That's fertilizing us for something in the future, you know? Well, she's sassy.
Hey, Lily Kate.
Hey, I need you to go upstairs, sweetie.
Yes. Oh, someone doesn't feel good.
I know, she doesn't. Hey, can you please go upstairs?
Well, you know what the thing is? We're almost at an hour, so how about...
Yeah.
I want to talk to you forever.
It's so fun.
I love the
it's
whole...
Fun. We
I love the whole life. We got
float.
The whole fam in here.
Yeah, he's down here. But yeah, just hey, if you're going through crap right now, just look at it as fertilizer.
Yeah, I love that.
It's just growing you for something better.
It is.
And it's just perseverance.
Okay, but, so we're gonna wrap up with Leave Your Light. So leave us some inspiration.
Stop.
You know, what do you think, Lily Kate?
I think I'll kind of go back to like what we talked about. She's a bulldog. Anyways,
well, she don't you know, feel
I think,
good either.
I think what I kind of talked about earlier, what's been kind of keeping me going is, like I said, like God's delays are not God's denials. Mm-hmm. So even though it feels like, you know, he's telling you no, it's not never. It's just not right now. So whatever it is you're going through, whatever weight you're going through, find the silver lining. Put on a good tune, man.
Like,
just we're all in this together, and your worrying is not going to do anything. It's not going to make anything happen. You know, I tell that to David all the time about, you know, just his career and
it's hard not to worry.
It is. But
what's your biggest worry?
It's probably silly, but my biggest worry is not feeling wanted.
Really?
Yeah. Not feeling, like I kind of have this fear. I'm a people pleaser.
Mm-hmm.
So I kind of have this fear of like, not feeling needed or wanted.
Really?
That's it. Yeah.
What do you do when you're in the bottom of that worry?
Pray. I mean, just like what I do with a lot of stuff is just, you know, that probably doesn't seem real to some people if you're, you know, not a believer, but that's what works for me is like being reminded of my worth and just being confident in who I am.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you know what? I kind of got to face it. There's maybe some people that might not like me or not gel with me. But
it's hard, though, because you want them to like you.
I do. So, yeah, that's probably my biggest fear. I would just want people to like me.
I have that, too.
Yeah.
I really want people to like me. And
well, I like you.
I like you. And I think you have it going on. I mean, look at you just running this life.
Oh, it's fun.
Yeah.
It is very, very fun. I'm really excited. And, hey, we're going to try another transfer soon. So life might get a little bit crazier.
Yeah.
Come back then. when I've got three.
Yeah, I love it. I love your optimism, though, and your attitude on it all, and trusting the process and patience and God. I mean, that's so amazing that you can go there and, like, believe that, you know?
He knows your heart's desire, and you know what? He hurts when you hurt. He hurts when I hurt.
Mm-hmm.
So he's in it with us, and that's just what I have to kind of keep telling myself, is I'm not alone, and it's all going to be all right. Keep on trucking.
Kat, you're amazing. And we didn't even talk about the story of you and Caroline Bryan at tennis camp. Like, I wanted to talk about that. Y'all went on, like, an adult away camp where, like,
this
you guys...
That was, like, 3 years ago. Yeah, she went that one time, and she never went back. Caroline, why did you not go back?
I love that y'all, like, went to, like, an adult
tennis camp. She's so cool. I mean, we don't care.
She's the funniest person ever.
Oh, she's a hoot. And... yeah, we stayed in these dorms and went to adult tennis camp. And then last year I brought Kelly Haywood.
Dave's wife from Lady A.
Yes.
Oh my gosh.
She just started with tennis. Well, she's like so competitive. Like, we're both real scrappy on the court. Like, if you want to see a show, come watch Kelly and I play against each other.
I mean, legit.
Bring earmuffs, because there's some words that go down.
Some words flying, not just balls.
We say we love Jesus.
But we cuss.
But we cuss a little. But yeah, we have fun. I think, hey, I'm big on Brene Brown right now.
Yeah.
All about, like, adult play.
Yes.
Because, man, when did we lose that? When did you just, like, stop playing? Like, go next door and knock on your neighbor's door and be like, you want to come outside and play?
Yes.
That's, like, what we did at tennis camp.
That is so true.
Yeah.
Why did we stop playing?
I don't know, but I guess that's my light. You know what? Go play.
Go play.
Life's a playground.
Indulge. You know, enjoy.
Yeah.
I love it.
Go on the monkey bars. Go down the slide.
Why not?
You're not too old.
We only think we are, but we're not.
Yeah, I know.
Kat, you're amazing. Thank you so much for joining me.
You're welcome.
Oh my gosh, you're the best.
Hey, cheers. Let's finish these root beer floats.
Heck yes. Okay, bye.